May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. When Leanne, our middle child, was born, she was the first girl to be born in my husband's very large family in 65 years. Chet was one of five boys. His older brother had three boys. His younger brother at this point had two boys, and our firstborn was a boy. So when Leanne was born, she achieved instant stardom. The world was her oyster. As a church baby, she was also doted on by her large church family. She was a happy, loving child for whom life was a source of great delight. It was only after entering elementary school when she began to be exposed to the cruelty of others who would try to steal away her joy and erode her confidence that she would have any doubts whatsoever about her sense of self-worth. In the face of the cruelty of the world, knowing the love of God for her in Jesus Christ and the love of her family were lifelines for a growing girl. In the story that is told in both the book and the subsequent movie, The Help, the little girl, Mae Mobley, is largely ignored and neglected by her parents, an unspoken message being communicated to her that she is unlovable, unworthy of their attention, and of no value. It is only the maid, Abilene, who cares for her every day, who speaks into her heart words to counteract the unloving, devaluing treatment she's been given by her parents. Abilene speaks over her repeatedly to imprint on her heart and in her mind the words, "You is smart, you is kind, you is important." Whatever they may have lacked in grammar, they made up for 100-fold in value for this little child. Those words of affirmation would guard her heart against the lies of the enemy that would come creeping in as self-doubt and even self-loathing in the absence of the love of her parents were it not to come from another place. When Abilene is unjustly fired, what is so heart-wrenching is not that she's losing her job, she can get another job. It's that this young child is being left alone without anyone to love her and speak these words of affirmation into her heart. Abilene was her one hope of remaining whole in a family that didn't seem to understand how to love her. And now she was going away. Our gospel reading today is the end of Jesus' farewell discourse to the disciples. He's going away. He's leaving them with an enormously difficult task of reaching a hostile world with the message of the gospel, reaching them with the message of God's redeeming love for his people. The disciples are in desperate need of encouragement to get them through what will lie ahead of them. Jesus has told them he will be leaving them, and they are scared to death. They don't know how they will function without him. He tells them that it's actually for their good that he's leaving. In saying that he must go away for the Holy Spirit to come, he's not implying that the two persons of the Godhead can't be co-present. The unity of the Trinity always means that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are always there together. Rather, it is through Jesus' going away in his death on the cross, resurrection and ascension to the Father, that the work of salvation will be accomplished, a necessary precedent for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not only proclaim the coming of the kingdom or empower the disciples to proclaim it, but will actually impart it, will actually bring it about. The ministry of the Spirit is the unleashing of that resurrection power of the promised kingdom of God in the world. But it's only on the other side of the resurrection, after receiving the Holy Spirit, that the disciples will even begin to gain an understanding of what he's talking about. The disciples are to be proclaiming the kingdom of God to restore to the world that right relationship with God that was lost in the fall. Restore the justice and peace and blessing upon all people that were God's original intention. It is the work of the Holy Spirit that establishes the kingdom of God by transforming hearts and lives with the gospel. The disciples are called to preach the love of God and his grace and mercy poured out for us. They're not called to preach judgment. That is the job of the Holy Spirit, who convicts us of sin and summons us to repentance. The Spirit reminds us of all that Jesus has taught, implanting the truth of God and of his word on our hearts and leading us into that way of truth that is Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit protects us from discouragement, encourages us, and fills us with the love of our Heavenly Father, inspiring us and empowering us to do the work he has given us to do. Through the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us, we experience healing of body, mind, and spirit for ourselves, and are also instruments of that healing for others. The prophet Joel prophesied long before Pentecost, long before the coming of Christ, what the Lord would do in his people through the coming of the Holy Spirit, when he said, "Then I will make up to you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the creeping locust, the stripping locust, and the gnawing locust." The locust represents the impact of this fallen world on us, and the lies about us that the enemy would try to get us to believe, lies that say we have no value, that we're unloved, or that we have no hope for the future. Lies we're tempted sometimes in our darkest hour to believe about ourselves, hurtful words or actions that eat away at our self-image, stripping us of our sense of self-worth as they creep into our thoughts and gnaw away at our confidence and our hearts. These cruel words and actions that are spoken over us or done to us are the work of the swarming locust. When the Lord says he will make up or restore to us for the years the swarming locust has eaten, the word translated make up or restore is shalom. It means to be whole or sound, to be safe, to be uninjured, made secure, to be peaceful, and to live in harmony with God. Its principal meaning is completion and fulfillment. In the ministry of the Holy Spirit, God is restoring us through the work of Christ on the cross into the relationship that we were meant to have with him from the beginning of creation. That close relationship with God that Jesus enjoyed with the Father, unbroken by the interference of sin. This is to be ours with the coming of the Holy Spirit, who will take what was true of Jesus, the relationship with that he shared with God, and declare it unto us, make it possible for us. Jesus said of the Spirit, he will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. What Jesus possessed becomes ours through the gift of the Spirit within. The Spirit reveals to us the knowledge of the character of God. He reveals to us the same love of God that Jesus enjoyed for us. The Spirit speaks into our hearts and minds, you are loved, you are redeemed, restored, and forgiven. You are cherished and of great worth. I delight in you. The Spirit reveals to us the fullness of Jesus' teaching and understanding of his words and of the work of the cross and the resurrection. The same power of God at work for restoration and healing that belong to Jesus are made known to us. We experience now in this life on earth through the work of the Spirit a foretaste of what we will experience fully in heaven when we come into the fullness of the presence of God for all eternity. The Holy Spirit is that still small voice guiding and directing our words and our actions. Like Jesus, we too will be vessels of the Holy Spirit and instruments of God's healing, redeeming work for all creation. In John chapter 7, Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. By this he spoke of the Spirit, John tells us, whom those who believed in him were to receive. The Spirit was not yet given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. The word for receive in this promise to those who believe indicates continuous or repeated action. Once Jesus had been glorified in his ascension to the Father, the Holy Spirit came on the disciples at Pentecost, but this was not a one-time event. The coming of the Holy Spirit was to be a continuous action. They would receive the Holy Spirit and continue to receive the Holy Spirit, as would all who believe in Christ. The anointing and infilling of the Holy Spirit continues to encourage and empower us and fill us with the love of God and the presence of Jesus Christ today, again and again and again. Our understanding of who we are, that we are indeed loved and cherished by God, that we are of great value and worth, are all spoken into our hearts through the Spirit, reminding us of all that Jesus taught and leading us into all truth. The Holy Spirit is our insurance against the lies of the enemy that have no place in us, because God's love has been planted firmly in our hearts through his Spirit. It is his love within us that restores us to that quiet wholeness, that peace within, that confidence that we dwell secure in the love of God, who has given us his Son and has given us his Spirit as a guarantee. The Spirit shares not only the truth of Christ and of the Father, but also Christ himself. Jesus himself is with us, among us, in the presence of the Spirit. And so through the Spirit, we go forth in response to his call on our lives, not only for him, but with him. Truly, he is with us always to the close of the age. Amen.